At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Well, we are here with very special guest, Shuhei Yoshida.
Hello.
Himself.
Wow. Yay.
Hello from Tokyo.
Yes.
Hello. We are so excited to have you. We've been, waiting for a long time to, get the courage to ask you to be on the podcast.
You shouldn't need the courage to ask me. I love joining these podcasts. So.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah,
very excited.
Yes.
Yeah, you're one of the people that we would just see around the industry, but never had the opportunity to introduce ourselves or say hi. And when you left Sony, we thought, maybe we missed our chance, or maybe now is the chance. So we're just so happy we could make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you may know that I've been lifelong Nintendo games fan, right? But because I work for Sony, I had to restrain myself from expressing my love.
Yes.
We honestly understand that well, but from the other side, we were so associated with Nintendo when we worked at the company. We loved so many PlayStation games that we couldn't tell anybody about. So I would keep it to myself as I played all of the God of War games. And gosh, so it was the experience from the other side. That's so interesting that you that you had the same experience that we did.
So you've been away from Sony for a little while now, but you've still been, you've been out there. You've been appearing on podcasts. You've been sharing actively on social media. And it's so interesting because sometimes a lot of these gaming executives step away and they just vanish. You never hear from them again. So it's wonderful that you're still out there. But is there any, do you have any goal of I want to share my stories or I want to share my wisdom that's causing you to stay out there and to share all this great knowledge that you have?
Not much like that, but I used to do lots of media interviews when I was running the first party many, many years ago. But somehow the PlayStation's PR strategy or approach changed that they kind of stopped, putting these, game developer or game production people on media. I was doing the indie support role for the last 5 years at PlayStation. So I was able to take interviews or talk to, media or, industry events about the PlayStation support and love of indie games. But, of course, I was not allowed to talk any other subject. And because I have had so many friends in the media, and many of them become left media and become the influencer, they started this, really nice, podcast or YouTube group. I wanted to go back to them and have a chat about any topics. Now that I don't have to ask for approval for the PR department to show up in podcast influencer group, so I'm I love doing this, and I strategically booked, because many of us came to me right after the announcement was made, but I was leaving PlayStation, but I booked the interviews with intervals, because I didn't want to take interviews at the same time, because I would have to say the same thing again, right, and it's not fun. And when I do that way, the second person, interviewer, watch the first interview and come up with different questions to ask, so that, I won't get bored answering the same questions. Or, I'll talk about something new that may, become some, headline or some buzz for the show. So that continued for the last, you know, 3 or 4 months. So I'm kind of, you know, winding down that kind of, you know, going through all my friends, even including, I don't know, you know about Dave Jaffe. Dave Jaffe is such a creative guy, you know, who created Twisted Metal and God of War, and one of my longtime friends and collaborator. So I wanted to do something for his show, but you may know that his show is really dangerous to show up, because he asks such a, you know, spicy questions. So, you know, I wasn't able to do so until a week ago, I think. A couple of months ago, I came up with this idea that because he has such a celebrated and colorful career, instead of letting him ask me lots of difficult questions, how about I interview him and he talks about, you know, his long time career, how he came up with the idea of making Twisted Metal or, you know, God of War, or and how he decided to leave the game development and had become a YouTuber. So it went well. So after I met with all my friends, and now I can take meet new friends like yourself. So
that's awesome. What a great strategy to, you know, be able to share so many different perspectives and aspects of your career. Yeah. And
I'm very much looking forward to this one, because you have a very, you know, interesting background, and you know, between you and I could exchange some interesting, you know, stories.
Yeah.
So we promise not to ask you like super spicy questions, but we have some spicy ones too.
We know how it goes.
You do?
Okay. Are you ever surprised at how things that you say in these interviews gets picked up in the media or picked up by fans? Because that's frankly something that happens to us as well, is, you know, we're always talking about things that we think are interesting, but it's always sometimes unusual. So like, oh, that's the thing that gets a headline. Yeah. The former Nintendo employees, the former PlayStation executive.
Yeah, that's always the case. You know, believe me, I took so many like media training back in the days. And one small thing I mentioned might become the headline, and all the other good stuff I said might not be covered at all. So yeah, I've been seeing that. You know, something like when I said the other reaction to the announcement of Switch 2, you know, I think I said lots of good things about Switch 2, but the only thing I picked up was, you know, Nintendo maybe losing their identity or something that I said.
Yeah, we saw those.
And
like,
so and I got I got a lot of hate message from Nintendo fans, you know, globally. But that's okay.
That's how it goes. But a lot of times, you know, they pull out the most like clickbait headline, and that you kind of miss the context around all the things that you were talking about. So yeah, we've had it happen to us too.
You know, I was in Brazil for Gamescom Latam, and I took like 10 or 11 interviews. And the things I said about Game Pass, you know, was picked up as Shuhei Yoshida, EX Sony executive, criticizing Game Pass as being dangerous for the industry or something that.
Yeah.
That's a headline. And I got lots of hate message from Xbox fans.
So. Look out.
But it's okay.
We want to talk to you about kind of the relationship between Nintendo and Sony, and it's something that we've shared a bit on our podcast, kind of our perspective from the Nintendo side, where there was always, it was very clear, a deep respect of what Sony has done over the years, and an understanding that there were times where Sony was clearly outperforming Nintendo. So I think there was this recognition of, we're now going down some fairly different paths where Sony has its lane that it's going down. Nintendo has its lane going down. But there was always like, we understand that at any moment, like they could really be the top dog or upend everything that we're doing. And I'm so curious, what was the feeling about Nintendo inside Sony?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, aside from, you know, my personal feeling, I always admired, you know, Nintendo games. And because I was on the development side, I got so many inspirations and learnings from the game that they released. But other than myself, the, you know, the overall, very interesting in working for PlayStation. Their perception of their competition is always Xbox. They see, you know, Microsoft being a competition, and because Xbox is very similar, you know, performance hardware, right? Like a high end, you know, console, you know, matured games. And Nintendo is very, very different, right? Nintendo is family friendly, you know, games for everyone, and, you know, not about technologies, more about, you know, having fun with friends and families, and always have, you know, multiple controllers, you know, bundled with the hardware. So inside Sony, even when they do like a business analysis, Nintendo doesn't show up even. So yeah. There's a competition market share between PlayStation and Xbox, and somehow they don't include Nintendo. Not that they're ignoring Nintendo, but that they do not necessarily feel Nintendo is competition, because Nintendo is covering a different audience, and in a bigger scale, Nintendo is bringing, you know, young audience into the, you know, gaming, and some of them, when they grow up, might graduate into more matured, you know, systems like PlayStation or Xbox. So, of course, you know, there's a huge respect for what Nintendo does, and in terms of how Nintendo should be doing in the industry, you know, we all felt that it's great to have Nintendo continue to be successful, so that we can grow the industry, you know, continue to grow the industry together, kind of feeling, I think. Well, but except for one market, it's Japan. Japan, Nintendo is hugely strong, and Xbox almost doesn't exist. You know, I should be careful. I may get hate message from Xbox fans.
It's true, though. It's actually
yeah, yeah. When you live in Japan, you know, it's very hard to see, you know, where's Xbox. You know, even though the PC gaming is becoming a bit more popular in Japan, but it's all about Nintendo versus Sony. So the people, PlayStation people working in Japan see Nintendo clearly as competition. But outside Japan, PlayStation people clearly see Xbox as the primary competition.
For the first couple generations of PlayStation, you know, Nintendo was still iterating on graphics from like the Nintendo 64 to the GameCube. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of broke off with the Wii. What was the reaction? Was it what's going on here with something that was just so completely different than what you'd seen before?
Well, that was the amazing. Well, actually, you know, Nintendo 64 was obviously, you know, going for 3D graphics and the higher, you know, end performance. They even named the system with 64. That's a larger number than 32-bit system, which was PlayStation and Sega Saturn, right? Yeah, but what was most amazing about Nintendo 64 was actually Mario 64. The way they kind of invented, showed the industry how to use a 3D space as a, you know, as a, you know, playground for making games. So I think that was the biggest impact that Nintendo 64 had. So not necessarily just going for the high-end graphics, but they you know, opened up a lot of possibility of designing games in 3D environment. And, of course, GameCube didn't fare well because it didn't have either highest performance or something unique, you know, like other systems that Nintendo followed up. So Nintendo Wii was amazing. That combination of Nintendo Wii and DS was one of the golden era of Nintendo, right? Yeah, they are doing so many interesting things. And obviously, because they went so tangentially in terms of system and the kind of games that enable the systems, really, there are no competition. And when you look at the overall, you know, home console sales, the Wii era was like a huge upside, because it's almost like, you know, there's a PlayStation and Xbox, you know, combined is very, very stable, you know, total number of units sold. And on top of that, you know, Wii was added like 100 million units on top of that. So that was great for the industry, I think. And that inspired other companies like ourselves and Xbox, you know, so we came up with, you know, PlayStation Move controller, or they did Kinect, or, you know, some other systems. So that was very, very inspirational. And that must have brought even more, you know, newer audience to the gaming because of that ease of use at the ease of user interface.
Was there anything that Nintendo ever did, ever came up with that you really wished that you were able to do that at Sony instead? Was there any time at all where Nintendo did something where it just felt like, oh man, if only we thought of that first?
Well, Nintendo introduced many, many new things first. And, you know, other companies, including PlayStation, took inspiration, like, you know, introduced analog stick, I think, introduced vibration, I think. Yeah, so, well, we are excited to take these ideas, and not necessarily I wished we did it before Nintendo. Something that amazed me even today is the pricing of Nintendo Switch 2 in Japan. That's still, you know, mind boggling because when you take the exchange rate between Japanese yen and and the US dollars, it's like 145 or 150 yen to the dollar. And they are selling Nintendo Switch 2 in Japan for 50,000 yen, including the 10%, you know, consumption tax, which means they are selling Nintendo Switch 2 for $300 US dollars in Japan, which is Switch 1 price, right? So that's amazing business decision because it's a same hardware, right? Same cost of goods, right? So yeah, it's amazing thing. You know, I do not necessarily think other companies like PlayStation would emulate what they did. Well, you know, it doesn't make sense to me, you know, selling the same thing for such a different price for other consumers. But it's clearly showing that they want to keep the stronghold in Japan that they already have. So that's an amazing decision that they have made.
Yeah, for us being based in the U.S., we definitely had some puzzlement around that decision. Yeah, well, I wish it was like that here, but what might be going on there? But yeah, that's true that there was always a real like feeling of pride of we are this big in the Japanese market. And it seemed like, you know, Sony was always bigger in the U.S., but also in Europe as well. Like, how did Sony view the domestic Japan market?
Japan market has become smaller and smaller in terms of percent of install base for PlayStation. It used to be, you know, I don't remember, maybe 25 or 30 or like, you know, we used to think here's Japan, here's US, and here's Europe, right? You know, all time, like three big, you know, market like that. And I think Nintendo Switch is still like that, right? Nintendo Japan is big. But now, you know, the install base of PlayStation must be, you know, well below 10%. So, you know, it's not necessarily Japanese market has shrunk. Actually, it could be shrinking because the population of younger kids are shrinking in Japan. You know, people don't have as many kids as Japanese people used to have, but the it's the other market that have grown, you know, really large. So the importance of Japanese market has, you know, become less and less, even though Japan is still the home of lots of great, you know, game publishers and game developers. So the importance of region is still there, but from the market standpoint, Japanese market is very small. So I think that's one of the reasons that PlayStation have moved the headquarter from Japan to, you know, US, to really have a global view from the, you know, US and European standpoint.
Earlier on, you mentioned the Nintendo DS as being part of that sort of golden age. And mm-hmm. one of the most fascinating things kind of mm-hmm. in gaming history was the introduction of the PSP and Sony trying to enter into that handheld mm-hmm. gaming market. And we have, you know, we remember some of the things that were said by Sony very, very strongly of like, we're going to elevate the handheld gaming market, make it not just for kids. What did you all learn, like, once you actually got into handheld games? And it's great that the PSP and the DS were both great systems, but that rivalry was so interesting then.
Yeah, portable system like a PSP, the motivation or reason for entering that is, in my recollection, was the inspiration didn't come necessarily from, you know, there's a Game Boy market, you know, we should tackle them, or less about that, but more about this, you know, big cycle of, you know, console. So when PS1 is, you know, past the peak and coming down, you know, PS2 will be going up, but there's a, you know, gap, you know, few years of older system is really going down and the newer system doesn't have much, you know, business at all. So the having the portable to bridge the gap kind of will, you know, will maintain the certain level of business for the company. So that was the motivation, I think, to introduce, you know, PSP between the PS2, you know, coming down and the PS3 going up. And luckily, you know, PSP had the really good, you know, audience, and DS went, you know, like a different way, having, you know, two screens and touch screen, so provided a different kind of game experience. So I think, you know, both systems went very well. However, that was the one happy generation of portable gaming, because in my mind, because, you know, smartphone came up and smartphone one by one took the existing other products market, like, you know, Walkman, you know, music player market, or the digital camera market, and of course, you know, internet device market, and finally the, you know, gaming, you know, portable gaming system market. And of course, you know, touch gaming is not the same as, you know, playing games with the real buttons and sticks. However, the convenience of you already own the portable system, do you want to hold another, you know, device when you go out? You know, maybe not, right? so that was the, in my mind, demise of the dedicated portable market, gaming market. And of course, Nintendo Switch is great because it's a hybrid, you know, both portable and the home system. So it's different. But after, 3DS, you know, did pretty well, but after 3DS, it's going to be really hard to think about launching a dedicated new portable gaming system and getting a large audience like it used to.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Yeah, that was used to have.
Yeah, I think that was the one time when we were within the company where we saw genuine fear from, you know, the executives at Nintendo, was when we saw the rise of mobile games. And there was all of this data coming out. I'm sure you saw this as well when you were inside PlayStation, of like kids younger and younger having their first video game experiences, not on a console anymore, like we were when we were kids, but on a mobile device. And someone shared this video of this little kid, like 3 years old, playing games on an iPad. And you saw everyone's face in that meeting. It was like, it's over for us. This is the end of the handheld market. Yeah. It was scary.
Because every parent know, you know, myself included, it's such an easy device to give to kids, right? And they that these devices take care of these kids, and we can do their own life. So from my standpoint, Nintendo was really helping, still trying to teach kids how to play games with VR buttons and sticks, right? Rather than, you know, touch control, so that, you know, they can grow up as a proper gamer. So I still, you know, today, I applaud Nintendo, you know, trying to keep doing that, for the whole industry. But now, you know, even hardcore 3D open world action adventure games are playable with touch screen, right? That's unbelievable. And see how many kids play games like Roblox on smartphone, right? That's unbelievable. Yeah. So I think even, you know, including Xbox, Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox are together fighting against all these other way of playing games, in my mind.
Totally agreed.
With the Switch 2, right, you know, right on the horizon, everybody's wondering, well, is it going to do as well as the Switch? And there's this interesting thing just kind of through the years in the industry where the company that has the top platform sometimes struggles with their next one. And we experienced that with the Wii to Wii U. And you had the PS2 to PS3, which was a challenging generation. Why do you think this phenomenon happens?
On the Xbox 360.
Exactly. Yes, Xbox One. We've all experienced it.
Went through this horrible thing. Yes. Why do you think this is?
Well, one thing is, you know, in my mind, again, you know, there's a force of capitalism that once you are on top, the, you know, investor or whatever force you to take advantage of the position, right? And because that's the right thing from capitalist, you know, standpoint. But sometimes that thinking backfires because, you know, we are not just talking about one product that, you know, people just buy and use. We are talking about whole industry of software developers and, you know, all these partners. And once, and even, you know, consumers, when they see the, you know, top companies being slack or being becoming slightly too comfortable, they see the opportunity for the others to take over, because the, you know, from partner standpoint, you know, I believe it's always good to have multiple platforms competing, you know, because they need the, you know, partner software companies support. So one dominant force, you know, having is really difficult in terms of power balance between the platform holder and the, you know, game publishers and developers. So it's always healthy to have the platform side to compete so that everybody can be elevated. Other than that, because this is innovation industry and entertainment industry, people can get bored, right? Something that's really popular might become become tired when you play the same kind of games again and again. They may be bored and look for something else, including the whole video game category. So that's a dangerous thing. So that's another reason, having a competition is really healthy. And that's another reason the non-top companies try to come up with something different to be able to leapfrog the other guy, top guy, if they just continue, doing the same thing. I don't know if I answered the question.
No, I don't think there is an answer,
yeah. but this is great perspective.
Yeah.
Do you have a feeling, I feel like we were talking about this a little bit about how the games industry is just changing so much. And now there are so many of those games like a Roblox or a Fortnite where mm-hmm. one person can just play the same one game forever. Mm-hmm. I think when we were growing up, we were like jumping from game to game, from platform to platform. We had such a wide variety of perspectives in terms of the games we're playing. But mm-hmm. nowadays that the habits are so different. Mm-hmm. What do you think is like the future of the games industry?
Well, seeing the ranking of the, games, like a top 20 games most played in the longest hours or like that. And every year, maybe 15 of them are the same game. It's kind of depressing to me.
It's kind of scary, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's scary. Some people just enjoy playing the same game, every time, like you're saying. And part of that is they're enjoying the playing games with other friends, right? Mm-hmm. Like my daughters play the same game for the last 5 years, with their friends. It's a mobile game called Hip's Identity. It's like it's a NetEase game about the asymmetry, multiplayer games. They licensed the game design from Dead by Daylight. But they, it's a great game. They keep updating and introducing new characters, but the, biggest, attraction for them is to just play games with their friends and have chat, right? Sometimes they just have chat and they're in the game, but they're just talking. So I totally understand. And that's a different kind of, benefit that games are providing. And the other, game like a single player games or narrative based game, action game, each game has different kind of benefit. Like many party games that Nintendo is very good at, like Mario Party and like that, provide really great tool for people to get together and enjoy time together in the same room. So as long as there are variety, continued variety and continued, new ideas comes out, I think it's all right. The reason I love, indie games is, indie games every year you find, 5 to 10 games that you never think would have existed, right? This year, like a Blue Prince, I don't know if you have played
amazing.
In Blue
yes,
Prince.
Yes, I That's love that game. Amazing.
Yeah, this is like, how did he come up with this idea?
Yeah, exactly.
So every year these games come out and, it's an inspiration for everyone in the industry. I know many people in the big studios, making AAA games. They play indie games as well. They enjoy, playing these new games and they get, inspiration by playing these games. And also the technological advancement, games is always the first thing that being used to try the new technology, right? We talked about, Nintendo Wii or, other things, and even Switch 2 introduced the one camera capture four players at the same time, right? It wasn't possible when we are doing iToy, right? So the gameplay may be similar, just waving your arms in front of a TV. But now with the new technology, I believe they're using AI or something in the backend to be able to capture four different faces and identify every player at the same time with just one system and one camera. So that's a technological advancement allows game developers to create new game experience. So because technology doesn't stop advancing, the AI or, new technology will always be invented and evolve. Game developers will be the first ones to take advantage of these technological advancement to create new game experience. So I'm always optimistic about the future of games.
Something that's been controversial with the Switch 2 is Mario Kart World being priced at $80, which is surprising considering most of the games on the original Switch were $60. And I'm curious about your experience at Sony. A lot of games were $70, but also a lot of games on the PlayStation have these huge budgets, these incredible productions. How do you price games like that? How do you decide that $70 is what works for you?
Yeah, that's another thing. One of the things I mentioned in one of the interviews and the people, I kind of defended the pricing of $80 of Mario Kart because every game has a different value that it delivers to players. So it's in my mind, it's really up to each, publisher and game developers to price their games. It doesn't have to be that every game has to be at, $70 or $80 or whatever, because every game is different. Look at some of the service games. They are charging $100 for you to buy this one digital trading card or something. Crazy, right? But some people see the benefit, so they spend that $100. What's wrong with it, right? So it's up to you if you see the value or not. However, when I said that, lots of people said that, oh, you are out of touch. We are very struggling in life, because of the inflation and all these difficulty in life. Maybe that's true, but What I said was, look at all the other things, compare the price of like a movie ticket or whatever, 10 years ago and today. And video games are amazingly, affordable, when you look at the value that the amount of entertainment a good video game provides, like Mario Kart 8. So many people played hours and hours and hours, right? With just one purchase, or maybe, some people paid for additional, tracks, but additional tracks came with, so many contents. So, it's really up to the game and people have to make judgment, which game provides the, entertainment that you want and see if, it makes sense to pay the price on day one. Well, some games, many games, price comes down when you wait as well. So I'm all for, each publisher pricing each game differently.
Did you ever hit a point at Sony when the game started getting bigger and more lavish of like, we might be hitting like a limit for how far what we can get away with as far as what we're offering in a single game?
I think it's a very, very good question because, going from PS3 to PS4, I was still managing first party. It almost felt like going big was safer. It may be counterintuitive, but, if we spend enough money to make the big game, the chance of success felt like, increase. Because everybody wanted to play bigger game and more beautiful graphics and more realistic looking characters, more gameplay hours. And the budget was still, the biggest game that I was managing, the budget was like $200 million or so. And that's huge amount. However, because the number of games being produced from AAA standpoint became, you know, smaller and smaller because each title took larger budget. So the publishers are choosing, you know, smaller number of games to invest in terms of AAA titles. So the, you know, average unit sales increased. So, you know, during PS1 days, you know, selling million units was a huge hit. But now, you know, selling 10 million is kind of, you know, ordinary, right? From a AAA standpoint. So the, you know, budget was increasing, but the sales and revenue were also increasing to cover the increase. However, moving from PS4 to PS5, somehow technology is similar, but the budget is still increasing. And I saw some analysis or estimate of one same franchise released during PS4 era and PS5 era generation, you know, doubled the budget. And that has reached, I think, to the point that we cannot, you know, recoup this investment. Mm-hmm. So this generation, PS5 generation, I think is the first time that industry really, truly believe that, you know, there has to be something that has to be done. And, you know, in terms of asking studios instead of let's do whatever you dream of, but can you come up with the, you know, scope that's manageable, you know, can you you know, please, yeah, because it's limitless, right? The capacity of the systems, these systems allow so much content to be put into one game. There has to be the limit that artificially, you know, created from the company standpoint to contain, sustain the business. So I don't know how they do it because studios always have ideas and there's always drive to compete with other games. But they should look at, you know, listen to consumers as well. You know, including myself, I don't start a game when I hear the game takes like 100 hours to play.
Us too. Yeah. We said the exact same thing very recently. Someone was, why not? It's more game to play. I'm like, I don't have time to play.
Yeah, I don't have time. And RPG. I want to finish the game, right?
And I want to try want to as play. Many games as possible. Yeah,
I want to play the game till the end. So, exactly. Smaller games are great. So,
I think industry-wide, we've seen this sort of balance shift. And you're totally right in talking about sort of this PS5 era being overinflation of these like just huge open world, high budget, AAA. I mean, they're beautiful games and incredible experiences, but you do need to like kind of counterbalance that with smaller experiences, with scrappier studios that are making smaller games. And then we saw the great success of a game like Astrobot winning Game of the Year last year, doing just that. So it really proves the point that like the industry needs to have this kind of balance, and we need to have like a range of games at different price points, of different scope. So I do hope that we will see that in this next generation, because I do agree with you that like we kind of swung too far maybe to one side somehow. And now it's like, oh, we got to swing back a little bit.
Limitation is the mother of creativity, right?
That's like right.
When you talk with, Tim Asobi, you know, Nicolas Dussey, the head of the studio who created the Astrobot, you know, because I was close with them, and even after I moved on from First Party, they invited me to the studio to try the games in development. They clearly were aware of the limitation. The team was small. You know, they are like, 50 people or so. And, you know, they knew they cannot really create huge worlds. So they had to come up with the idea that the, you know, they can manage the scope by making each level a planet, right? So that, you know, they can put as many or as small number, you know, as they start making and trying, you know, play testing. And if the game level doesn't work, they can just take it out and steal the game, you know, game exists because there's no overarching story or anything like that. So they made it so manageable, the scope, but they spend lots of time, you know, polishing what they kept inside the game. So the game was mid-sized, but was really super polished. Because they are aware of the limitations that they have.
Yeah, when you mentioned David Jaffe, that actually made me think of one of his lesser-known games, Calling All Cars, which I really enjoyed, which it was like, boy, that's the kind of game that we just don't have anymore, which is a big-name developer working on something smaller that he can really put all of their creativity into. It just feels like that's something that we've sort of lost. And I don't
That's a great game to play on Nintendo Switch, right?
I would love to have that on Nintendo Switch.
You tell him to remake it.
David!
David, watch this
Do
show.
It. So we've been through some of these hot button topics that could get us in a headline, so good job by us navigating all of those. We have more of a heartwarming question for you, which is, again, we would see you at all of these events and be pretty inspired by you've achieved so much in your career, you know, risen so high within Sony, and yet you're just out at these events, playing games, talking with people. Would you say that you're a social guy? Would you say you just wanted to get your hands on these games? Like, what sets you apart from these other executives that are just like so behind the scenes? It was really inspiring for us.
Thank you. Yeah, all through the time that people praise me as being gamer, even though executive, you know, I always felt more because I'm a gamer, right? Yeah, so, you know, I didn't have to try to do anything. I just had to be me. And it's just so that, you know, somehow the video game industry, large companies, you know, management level, they do not like to have many, gamers on top. That's very strange
Weird.
To me.
Yeah,
they are in the business of video game, right? Why don't they have more executives who love what they handle? You know,
did anybody ever say to you, like, you don't need to do this, maybe spend less time on this? Because, like, we obviously were not at your level, but even we sometimes would have those conversations of, like, you should be focused on these things now that you're rising up the ranks. And it was always like, well, this is, like, what got us here is, like, the love of games.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, you know, sometimes the work is hard, right? Long hours and very tired and go home and play games, right? Yeah. So it's really, really, really good for anyone, any kid to think about to do, become a profession that you love, right? You know, because you love something, you do extra effort without thinking about it because you love it. And that's the reason that you could excel in doing in your work. It was for me, you know, I was ever since I was a kid, I was thinking about some games, you know, like Nintendo games are great and other companies' games are not as good. You know, why this game is better than that? And I was already thinking and always, and I learned that, oh, there's a game developers behind, you know, why this person's game is better than other teams' games. So that helped me, think about, you know, producing games. So, you know, in my mind, somehow I was already thinking about producer's eyes, training myself. And I kept that question to myself for the last, 40-plus years almost. Even before I joined the industry, I was thinking about, Why I like these games better than the others? Why this game is good? What makes people enjoy games? So after I left PlayStation, I'm just doing what I like, and I work with people I respect and I enjoy working with, and that's it. And if that takes me to to the event in Brazil, you know, I'll go. And if that takes me to join, you know, your podcast, you know, I'll do. So that's the thing. That's only parameter that I have if I enjoy doing it.
We know that you're in this new chapter of your career, and you're doing more than appearing on podcasts. We know you're helping out some indie developers. Like, do you have any goal in terms of the projects that you want to take on, or how you want to help these projects?
So I worked at PlayStation the last 5 years. I was working with indie publishers and indie developers from PlayStation side. So, you know, after I left PlayStation, luckily I'm on the other side. I'm working with some of the friends in the industries, a couple of publishers and developers, and I like to be help for them in some way, one way or another. And one of the companies I'm advising is Kepler Interactive, and recently
amazing.
They had Expedition.
Best game 3. I've ever played, Clair Obscur. Awesome.
and another game coming up, Rematch, the soccer game, you know, looking really good as well. So I'm very, very happy for them. And I'm working with the former Annapurna Interactive people. You may have seen the news that last year, all of 25 people from Annapurna Interactive left the company started the new company. And I'm advising with, you know, the people who started the Annapurna Interactive in the first place used to work for me at Santa Monica Studios. They are the external producers. They produce games like Journey or, you know, Edith Finch or, you know, Sound Shapes, you know, really creative small games. And because of me, because there are so many indie games made outside PlayStation, I stopped funding small games because it didn't make sense for me to allocate fund to something that already come to PlayStation in volume. So that removed their work at Santa Monica Studios. So that group lost their job. So they left the company and got funding and started Annapurna Interactive. So I've been friends with them for longest time, and now I'm very happy to work with them. And, you know, eventually in the future, their new games will be announced, and I hope, you know, they will rebuild the great company, indie publishing companies, and provide hits like Annapurna Interactive used to do. And I'm sure they will do, because they are the same group, and they are such a creative group that I totally respect and enjoy working with. So these are the, you know, two publishers I'm working with, and I'm having so much fun, and I'm learning things every day, you know, working on the publisher side. And of course, I can see how Nintendo works with publishers, or how Xbox, you know, works with publishers. And it's really, really refreshing to be able to have a perspective from the other side. But what I do is the same, you know, play games and play pitches and look at pitches and discuss what games could be potentially great for these publishers. I'm doing that every day.
That's awesome. Yeah. That sounds so incredible. And what a great thing that these publishers have the benefit of
lucky.
So many years of experience. They're so lucky to be able to work with you. That's so incredible.
Yeah, and we're just so happy that we were able to have this conversation, this former Nintendo Sony crossover. And again, after all these years, I just want to say thank you for everything that you've done for the industry, for being an inspiration for so many people. Just so happy we
and
could make
included.
It happen.
And us included. Yes, we totally respect, and we're so inspired by you. And it's so wonderful to see that you're doing so many amazing things after leaving Sony. And I hope that this is the start of a beautiful new friendship, and we can talk more often and see you at a future event. And
are you more like a news you know, podcast, or do you talk about games as well?
When
Industry we do it all. Yeah. We do it all. Okay, yeah, okay. We talk about
okay,
games.
I'll check out, you know, yes. regularly. To yes. see what games I should.
We have to send you our Claire Obscure spoiler cast that we just recorded.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. That's nice.
2.5 hours, and I definitely cried. So you can enjoy that.
Okay. Okay. I watch. Thank you.
Well, next time we see you at an event, we won't be so shy. We'll come by and say hello.
Yeah. Thank you so much again for being here with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer? I hope they don't think I was serious.
I need to be
about
awake. Snacks.
I have hours.
My brain shut
just
off.
Sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise. There's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.